everybody, and welcome to episode 21 of the Divided by Werewolves show. We are officially legal. You can buy us a drink, and I'm going to tell you right now, it'll only take but one to get me in your bed.
We put out.
Hell yeah, we do. Vodka soda. That's like my lowest. I don't even need something fancy.
Ow.
I know. So last night I went to a concert, and I don't go to them very often, but I do try to go to them. And my goal is like to leech life from young people who still have their whole lives ahead of them and haven't realized how it essentially amounts to nothing. And so I went to a show last night, and this band is not like an old band. Like, it's Silver Sun Pickups. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. They're one of my favorite bands. I've been waiting to see them for years and years, and finally they were doing a show, and it was Tuesday night, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going. And they're not like an old person band, but it was mostly old people. And I was like, what? I texted my wife. I was like, these people are hella old. Like, what the fuck? And it was in Buckhead, so parking was fucking expensive. And these people were happy to pay.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck this shit. I go to shows downtown. I pay $8. It is filled with young people who can't make rent. That's what I need. I need to pull the life from these people, not from these fucking, you know, rich-ass 50-year-old Buckhead people who ain't got nothing to do on a Tuesday night. But I was like, what the
fuck?
Where are all these old people coming from?
Yeah.
And my wife, she just left that text alone because she's like, you're going to be 45 in a week. But it was a really great, it was a really good show. It was a very good
show. I'm at the point where I get physically angry if I go to a concert and there's not a table somewhere with a chair.
Oh, dude. So I could check out. No, I am the best. You got to go to shows with me. I scoped that shit out. Last night, I found a spot that was for disabled people. And I stood behind it. I had a railing that I could lean on. And then I was like, most of the people who come to this section are going to be in wheelchairs, so I can see over them. And it worked out beautifully.
That is brilliant.
Yeah, no, I know all the spots. You name, like, there's like a venue in Atlanta, and it's not like the Phillips, you know, or the whatever, the Dome or whatever it is. Or Phillips Arena. Like, I can tell you where exactly to sit, because fuck that. I mean, I'm not.
We'll be needing that knowledge in October, because we're going to Smith. So.
Well, Variety Playhouse, there's no bad seats, and it's all seating.
That's true.
It's all seating.
That's true.
But yeah, yeah. No, I was like, and then this woman, you know, is for the most part, it's pretty cool, but then like, their like biggest song, she whips out the cell phone to take a video right in front of my face. I was like, excuse me, hello. I did not pay whatever, however much I paid between parking and fucking tickets to watch this goddamn band through your cell phone view screen. So you need to move the fuck over. She was not happy about that. I was like, I don't even give a fuck. I am 45 years old. There are no more fucks to give. I will straight up bust that phone over this railing if you hold that shit up 10 seconds longer. So she picked up what I was putting down, but then I could tell she was like making fun of me to her friends. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I do not give a fuck. I was like, I don't understand these people who go to these shows and then they watch the whole goddamn thing. The woman in front of me who's sitting down in the disabled section, she filmed the whole thing through the view piece of her camera. She watched the whole concert through her camera. And she wasn't a cameraman.
Yeah, I don't get
that. She wasn't like there to take pictures. That's just what she did.
Right.
I was like, whatever.
Well, you know, I take the occasional like clip.
Sure.
But the problem is, I always sing along with the song. So when I hear the clip, I'm like, ooh,
yeah.
I ain't posting that.
Yeah. I just, you know, whatever. We could go all day on that, but we got other stuff to talk about. I don't get it. I don't understand why you would spend the money. It's not like this shit is cheap. Why you would spend the money to watch an entire concert through the view screen of your iPhone. I don't get it, but whatever. All right, so I'm not playing anything new. I played the Parade demo, which was great. I'll be probably streaming that when it comes out. I hope everybody enjoyed me yelling and getting pissed off at the game.
I did.
Right now I'm playing Assassin's Creed Brotherhood because really that's kind of all I have. But you've started new stuff. Is that true? Or you're playing old stuff that is new to you? Or
right. I finished Ghost Recon. Thank God.
I heard
the cartel is no more.
The finale of that was actually fairly underwhelming.
Yeah, well, there's apparently there's two endings. So what I did was I did everything. I played this Mr. Binky style. I got every collectible. I did every single mission. I did everything there was to do in the game. And so, because the thing is, once you take down like two parts of the production and whatever, like the cartel, like I took down like security and production first. And it was like, oh, well, do this mission. And then before I knew it, I was playing the final mission. I was like, whoa, pump the brakes. I want to do everything, right?
Yeah.
So I had to stop the mission like midway through because shit goes down. And like, there's a twist and like things that you're used to are no longer there. And I was like, fuck you, I need that shit because I'm still going to do the rest of this.
Right.
So yeah, I went through and took out the other two parts and took down El Sueño. And the ending, yeah, it was sort of a bummer. But it said, you did enough shit that you get that you can watch the other ending if you just play the last two missions again. And I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that right now. I have Ghost Recon fatigue like a motherfucker.
Well, you know, it's funny because I kept watching you. And then, I kind of was kicking myself that I couldn't get it for $35, and I'm at a point where, so my birthday is next week, and like a fucking dumbass, to make things easier for my wife, I was like, okay, here's some games I would like for my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, that means I can't then rent them or buy them, because that'd be kind of a shitty thing to do, to be like, hey, spend money on this for me. Oh, wait, I already did it. So I didn't really have anything to play, and I don't want to pay for Prey because, as I mentioned on the stream, like I pay for Gamefly, so I'm trying to do better this year and rent more games to justify paying for Gamefly, and really only buy games that I know I'm going to have like a long tail on. Like, there's no fucking way I'm renting Destiny 2. Like, I'm going to buy the shit out of that game.
Absolutely.
But like Mass Effect, one where I'm like, once I'm done with it, I'm just going to – I'll be done with it. No, there's no reason for me to buy that. Same thing with Prey. So I'm kind of like, okay, what am I going to do? And then I was like, maybe Ghost Recon. And then every time I talk to you about it, you're just like, I am so fucking tired of this game. Like, I cannot wait for when this is hell unending. And then I'm like, but $35, you know? Like,
yeah. No, it's not a bad game. Like, don't get me wrong. It's just I played way too much of it in like a span. And the thing is, I knew I had to finish it because there's other shit coming up that I know is going to take up too much time, and I wanted to finish it.
Right.
But I'm still going to be playing it. There's two more achievements that I'm going after, and also the PvP is coming up, and we have, you know, several mutual friends that we're going to play with. So, yeah, I'm not done with it by any stretch. I'll still play it. Right. I still have to help Chris play the games.
Right. Well, I looked at it. Here's what I went. Okay, Amazon sold for $35. Typically, Best Buy at some point will follow. So, you know, if they do it, I can use my discount, get an extra 20% off, and then that'd be just some kind of have rattling around. Except that they announced a third Darksiders game. Darksiders is one of my absolute favorite franchises. And so I missed the humble PS4 bundle that allowed you to get both the Darksiders and Darksiders 2 remastered for $15.
Yep.
But Nordic put on sale the Darksiders Fury Pack on Xbox One on sale for $20. Darksiders and Darksiders 2 remastered. So I bought that shit today.
Nice.
So even though that's the one thing, I'd typically been pretty much against buying remasters, but when I played all the Assassin's Creed, I'm doing that now. When I played all the Uncharted games again and now playing the Assassin's Creed games again, I was like, you know what? As like something to do to pass the time waiting for other things, this is actually not bad. And so I thought $10 a game, and I fucking love the Darksiders game. Joey Mad, he's my fucking
Joe Madrero.
That dude's awesome. Met him. He's cool as shit.
Nice.
And I love the Darksiders game. Both of those games, don't be fooled. If you're going for the apocalyptic achievement, it is totally doable without having to do New Game Plus. Darksiders 2 is more difficult. There are some sections that I was about ready to throw the fucking controller through the goddamn window.
Yeah.
But I got that done.
Nice.
So what have you been doing?
Because you've got a bunch of stuff. Yeah, like, man, I've got a backlog. Like, I bought several things last October because my whole thing was I was going to stream scary games all October and put them up on the channel, and then I ended up playing, like, the Outlast 2 demo, and that was about it.
Uh-huh.
But
I have the I started playing the first Outlast Whistleblower DLC, which I've owned forever and never played it. And I started playing Soma, which I had owned forever.
I want to play that game because back when I used to do the JTS podcast, that was a game that Holly Green loved to death.
Yeah. And yeah, I remember talking about it.
I've just never gotten around. Every time it's on sale, I forget to buy it. So yeah. Have you started it?
Yeah, like I had actually played maybe – I played up to the first trophy, uh-huh. And then I just stopped. And I picked it back up, and I've been playing it, and it is fucking good, man. Like, it's like Bioshock, but it's like Bioshock, but you don't have any powers or weapons.
Right.
So you just have to run like hell.
I like it.
And I never played, like, Amnesia. I know it's the same studio, and I apologize. I can't think of the name of the studio or this. Right this second, but I know it's the same guys. I never got to play Amnesia because it was like a PC thing.
Yeah.
And I think it eventually got ported.
I think so too.
I was like, nah, I've got Soma. I'll play that one.
Yeah.
And it's really good. I'm enjoying that one.
Yeah. I mean, that's one I want to play. It's just that if you saw me play Prey 2, which all I can think of is people watching going, oh God, this guy, like I yelled. I yelped out loud. Like, I'm fine watching scary movies. I love scary movies, except for The Descent, because fuck that shit when they were going to. I had to stop. Scary games, they stress the shit out of me.
Yeah.
And I, you know, something like Soma to stream it, I don't know. And also, it's just one of those things where. You know, I play so much stuff like while I'm watching TV, and I can't be like trying to watch NCIS and like screaming at the fucking computer. Right. My wife would kill me. Like that.
Yeah,
would
this
not
game,
go well.
Like it's sort of it's survival horror in a sense, but it's also a puzzle game.
Right.
Because in order to progress, and the thing is, you have to solve puzzles while you're being chased by shit.
Oh yeah. So, fuck that noise. Yeah.
But that's all I've been doing really here lately. I'm really just biding my time for May 26th because I know that I will play nothing but Friday the 13th for a very long time.
Yeah.
Once that happens.
Understandable. All right, so we have a bunch of things, movies and shit to talk about. So first of all, we were going to talk about American Gods, but somebody hasn't watched it yet. But you said you are reading the comic, right? I didn't even know there was a comic. So
right.
What...
That's been everybody's sort of reaction when I say they ask me if I read the books, and I'm like, "Or the book? Is it one book? Two? I don't know.
It's one book. He is planning on writing a sequel, but
I'm like, no. Like, I prefer my Neil Gaiman or Gaiman, have you say it in comic book form.
Okay.
So
where? I'm just curious. You said there's two issues out.
Two issues.
Okay. And where have those two issues ended in terms of the story?
So. The first issue we were introduced to, and I'm going to butcher the fuck out of this because I read way too many comics. We were introduced to a guy and he was getting out of jail.
Shadow Moon. Or, yep.
Yeah. And, so he was doing his thing. And then this is so bad. I should have done research first because I don't remember. I remember the only things I remember were the guy got out of jail.
Yep.
And he was meeting with
Mr. Wimbley.
This guy, and he was offering him a job, and then this vagina swallowed this man.
No quits. Yeah.
Yep. At the end of the first issue.
Okay, so that's about halfway through the first episode. Okay.
Okay, and then issue two was like more of the shadow and the job on. Yeah, and it dealt with that more. And I don't remember exactly how the issue ended, but
okay.
I remember most of it was this person who was like, I've offered you a job. Are you going to take it? Blah, blah, blah. And the guy was like, well, I think at the end he may have taken the job or he didn't. I think he did.
Okay.
And that's sort of where it's at.
Okay. So American Gods, Neil Gaiman wrote it and Stars is, you know, did the TV show and it's got a lot of good people in it. You know, Gillian Anderson, she's going to be in it. And obviously Ian McShane as Wednesday.
Yes.
Is the big draw for me. and Brian Fuller, who did Hannibal and you know, Pushing Daisies, and you know, he's one of the, I don't know if he's like the show creator, executive producer. I mean, he has a big hand in it. I just don't know exactly what his. I think he's the showrunner. So I read the book, but I read it a long time ago, and I don't remember it at all. It'd be interesting to talk to you when you've seen it more.
Yeah.
There are things in it that I'm like, okay, this is like, you could tell that Brian Fuller did this if you watched Hannibal. If you watch Pushing Daisies, gotcha, not so much. But if you watch Hannibal, absolutely. Just the way some of the music is, the way that some of the violence is done, the color palette, it's definitely, you could tell that, you know, it's a Brian Fuller show. That being said, I actually, halfway through the first episode, I was bored. And I was very surprised at that, because I'm like, I love Brian Fuller. Hannibal is one of my absolute all-time favorite shows.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
If Mads Mikkelsen called, you know, was like, I need a kidney, I'd be like, you can take mine. You can take both of them. I'll be on dialysis the rest of my life. It's fine. You know, I loved the show. I think they did an amazing job with it. And I like Brian Fuller's aesthetic. I like the stuff, excuse me, that he does. And I can't say what exactly it was. And I don't want to, you know, talk too much about it, because I don't want to spoil things for you or kind of put thoughts in your head, so to speak. But halfway through, I was just like, yeah, these guys, you know, this shit is kind of annoying, and I'm just not feeling it. And I don't know if it's because... So the whole idea is that Shadow Moon hooks up with Mr. Wednesday, and Mr. Wednesday is an old god, and there's all these new gods, these, like, American gods. So, like, one of them is, like, this technical boy, and he's, like, the god of the internet, and then there's all these other gods. And essentially, there's going to be a war between the old gods and the new ones. And I just found some of the new gods to be really fucking annoying. And maybe that's it's supposed to be that way, but, you know, I'm not a god person. At all. I mean, so it's fine. Like, and I think part of it, most of the reviews I read, folks, they were still like, they were very heavily invested in the book. And I don't even remember anything at all that happened in the book. Like what you're talking about, that scene.
Yeah.
Bilquis, who was like a fertility goddess, she has sex with some dude and she shoves him in her vagina. And I read some articles about later on, and they're like, I didn't know how they were going to do this from in the book. And I'm like, this was in the book? Like, I would think I would remember this. Like, I know that a lot of times I read, like, five pages before I fall asleep, but he totally got shoved in her vagina. I think I'd remember that. So I don't know if I'm just kind of going into it, much like someone who has never read the books before. I'm like, is this what it feels like for people who watch Game of Thrones? This sucks. How do you live like this? But anyway, so I'm sure it'll get better. You know, the reviews of it have been very, very positive. And I think it probably may, I don't know what it is, but, you know, obviously don't take my opinion of it, cause I'm a dumbass.
Well, the thing is, like, it sucks because I want to watch it and I'm going to, but the thing is, like, the show is going to get ahead of me because, you know, the comic is once a month, and I should stop being a lazy ass and just read the book, but I'm not going to, so because I have the comic and the show.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, the fact is, I mean, in terms of the show getting ahead of you, like, I mean, there's no, you know, that's not a reason to not. Like, after we, you know, we watched the first season of Outcast, I went and I think I ended up through, like, a Humble Bundle or something, I ended up getting the first two graphic novels, and I was like, I don't care. Like, I'll still, you know, just, it's worth it just to kind of see how the choices they made in order to translate it.
Oh, yeah, I'll absolutely still read it. I just, you know, I don't know. I would rather have read the book, comic book first.
yeah. No, I get it. All right, so two things that though we have watched, and I don't know which one you want to do first. Do you want to do Officer Down first, or do you want to do Colossal first?
Sure. Either one. Officer Down's fine.
Okay. Officer Down. Okay. So Officer Down is a movie, and you said the people who made Turbo Kid made it. Is that right?
Oh, no, that was Void.
That was Void. Okay. So Officer Down is – Here's what this movie is. This dude got like fucking wasted out of his mind, and he watched RoboCop and let me think, what else did he watch? He watched
Judge Dredd.
He watched Judge Dredd, and he played Hotline Miami, and he watched a bunch of old kung fu movies, and then he wrote a movie, and that's Officer Down. So Kim Coates of I know him best from Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy.
He was Tig.
Yep.
He plays Officer Down. That's his name. He's a cop, and he is. He's kind of like Judge Dredd. But the difference is he's a hyper-violent police officer who patrols the streets of Los Angeles, but he keeps dying. And when he dies, there is a group of, I don't know how you describe it. It's some Minority Report shit. They're like comatose or barely functional telekinetics in the basement of the LAPD. And they use their brains to somehow bring him back to life with telekinetic energy. And he doesn't really remember that he died. And then he goes and kills criminals. And there's this group, yes, this crime syndicate called the Fortune 500. And I don't know if they're supposed to be people or half animals, but that's some Hotline Miami shit. And the woman wears like a white tiger kind of mask. And the one dude wears like a gorilla werewolf mask. And the other dude's a buzzard.
It was a black lion.
Black lion. Okay, is that what he was? And yeah, then they hired a black ninja named The Flash with teleportation powers to...
Zen Master Flash.
Zen Master Flash to kill... Officer Down, and then Officer Down got hooked up with this rookie whose job is basically to sit in a van and be there for support, and then he found out what was going on and went to help him. Does that sound about right? Did I miss anything?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Okay.
In a nutshell.
I'm gonna not gonna lie, not one of my favorite movies.
Yeah. I warned you.
You did. You absolutely did.
Yeah. So here's an interesting anecdote that I learned. So I watched the movie because, as I said at the end of the last episode, the horror guru reviewed it, and he and I tend to agree on things. And so what I'll do is I'll see that he reviewed something, and then I'll try to find it to watch, and then I'll watch his review after I watch it.
Oh, that's
and
smart.
So,
that's smart.
Yeah. I don't want him to sway me.
Sure.
But the thing is, once I hear him, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. And so that's what happened. It was on Netflix, and I saw that he reviewed it, so I watched it, and then I watched his video. What he did not mention that I think is very worth mentioning, and I found super interesting, is so I watched it again today because I was, just for tonight, because it's been weeks since I've seen it, and I just kind of wanted – I knew the gist, but I wanted to be able to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
And – honestly, there's not much else to talk about other than what you said. I mean, the thing that surprised me initially was I didn't know that Clown from Slipknot directed it. And again, the first time I watched it, I was not sober. And so I tend, not paying attention to a lot.
Right.
This one, it's almost required to not be sober.
Well, that's the thing. And I actually thought to myself, I bet if I was staggeringly, amazingly high, this would be a better movie.
Or drunk, yeah. I was drunk when I watched. But, so I get to the, and I missed it at the beginning, and I don't know how I did, because I was watching it. I get to the end, and it's like directed by, and whatever the clown from Slipknot's name is. And then it says written by. And Joe Casey's name pops up.
Right.
And I was like,
he did the comic.
I was like, what? See, I didn't know this was a comic.
Me neither, except until I watched it. It was like screenplay by Joe Casey, because I was taking a list of motherfuckers I needed to kneecap for making this thing. And then it said based on a comic by Joe Casey. And,
yeah, I missed that initially. Yeah. So today, that was like really exciting for me. I was like, oh my God, now I get to read this comic too. Like, I own the Blu-ray, now I get to read the comic. So the comic, the hardcover, is en route to my house from Amazon as we speak.
Okay.
Because somehow I missed that. Because I love Joe Casey and I love Chris Burnham.
See,
like,
I don't
nothing
know,
else, art's awesome.
I couldn't tell you something that Joe Casey has written. because I don't follow comics to the same degree that you do. But like, what has he? What would I know of his?
He did a. He's probably most well known for Cable Deadpool. Like when Deadpool became funny, that was Joe Casey.
Okay.
And then he's done X-Men. He's done a lot of Marvel stuff. And then he did I want to say Wildcats at Image for a while too.
Wildcats.
Sorry. Yeah.
It's impossible to say the word Wildcats without being Leslie Simpson and going Wildcats. Sorry.
But not a lot of DC, but definitely Marvel and other stuff. And I'm a fan of them. Like, I don't love Deadpool, but I mean, Joe Casey writes funny shit.
Well, you love the movie.
Yeah, oh, it's my favorite.
Okay.
But so, no, you're absolutely right. Like I said, this movie is like.
No, he when it first started, I was like, okay, they're kind of going for a Judge Dredd as if someone watched any of the Batman, watched either Batman Forever or Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
And decided that was an aesthetic that they wanted to emulate. And
right.
Then made a Judge Dredd movie in that style, like when it first started.
Did you not get like the Saturday morning cartoon vibe from it?
Well,
that's
no, because
that's
it starts off with him giving oral sex to a woman with a cartoon counter, and maybe cartoons were different when you grew up.
No, I know.
Damn sure weren't like that when I was a kid.
Over the top and so goofy.
No, and I agree.
It felt like an animated movie.
And I agree, but I also felt like that. I mean, you know, Batman Forever and Batman and Robin had that same over the top, goofy feel to them.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, if that movie and then you take like a Judge Dredd and put them together. But then as the movie went on, my biggest criticism of it, and I'll watch anything and I like all sorts of goofy shit. What I felt like was that this movie was throwing in a bunch of things without really understanding why they worked in the first place.
Yeah.
So, like, Judge Dredd, and I fucking love Judge Dredd, like, Carl Urban.
Oh, God.
Shit. I love that movie.
That was one of my favorite movies of the last, like, 20 years.
I mean, Judge Dredd works because of the way that the setting is and just the way they established the apartment building and the setting and the villains and the fact that this guy acted the way he did because that's how he's supposed to act. Like that, he's doing his job, regardless of whether or not you agree with it. That's how this particular world is run.
Right.
And, you know, RoboCop worked as well as it did because not only was it just a story of a guy like losing his humanity and finding it again, but it was a complete like condemnation of this capitalism over everything type of, you know, method of thinking, where this idea that you can privatize things like police officers and firefighters, which and then take the humanity out of it and still expect them to be efficient. And so it pulled stuff from those movies, but I don't feel like it actually knew why those movies as well as they did. So instead, you just had a bunch of shit just kind of thrown on the screen, and it didn't all work together.
Oh, absolutely not, man. No, this is a whole different ballpark than those two movies.
And I'm not expecting it. Like, in no way was I expecting it to be, you know, I'm not going to say like as good as those things, but I just, to me, if you're going to pull, like we talked about this with The Void, right? Like The Void, I think I feel like it pulled a little bit too much.
Yeah.
But I feel like it knew what it wanted from each of those sources. It just needed to stop a little earlier than it did.
Yeah.
And it knew why it wanted what it wanted because it knew why those things worked and how those would help them tell this particular story. It ended up, for me, being a little bit overstuffed, but I still enjoyed it. And here I just felt like they were like, they didn't really know why those things worked. So instead they just kind of grabbed them because it sounded cool on paper.
Sure.
And as a result, it ended up just being something that I was like, okay, like a perfect example. Okay, like, what's his name? It's not Grandmaster Flash. That would have been sacrilege. I would have burned that shit to the ground.
Zen Master Flash.
Okay, like, I understand he's supposed to be a Kung Fu master, so his voice doesn't match up with the way his lips are moving.
Yeah.
Like, I get that, but you're not... The rest of the movie's aesthetic was not a Hong Kong action film.
Right.
So you don't need that shit. That's just a distraction. That's just something you went, oh, wouldn't it be cool if he did this? And it doesn't, yeah, it doesn't add anything. It just ends up being annoying.
Right.
But I mean, that, you know, that's just me. I don't, you know, obviously I don't speak for everybody. So you really enjoyed it, though. Like, you bought it. You said,
yeah, absolutely.
What is it about it that you were like, this is something that I want to make sure I have on hand so I can watch when it leaves Netflix?
Right, because it is pure garbage, but in the best way for me. Like, okay, it's something that I could watch 100 times and it's always going to be funny to me. And you're absolutely right. Everything you said is absolutely correct. And it's going to be interesting for me now, once I reread the comic, to see how much of it is Sean was trying to put the comic on screen versus Sean liked this comic but also liked Judge Dredd and RoboCop and all the right, and G.I. Joe and all these other things, and he's just like, you know, this was his way of like bringing the comic to life, only doing it the way he like with shit he liked.
Right.
So I'm honestly curious to see how much of the movie is true to the comic book. Like, I'm really excited to read it.
Right.
But it's just, man, it's just one of those things that I'll have a drink or two, and if somebody's not seen it, I'll be like, are you drunk? Because I'm drunk. We need to watch this shit.
You know, because what? Like, I totally respect that, because I have movies like that. Like, one of my – I don't know if you've seen this movie. One of my all-time favorite movies is a movie. It's a movie called Ninja Assassin. Have you ever seen this movie?
I have.
I fucking love that movie. I love when people say, wait, Ninja Assassin, does that mean he is a ninja who's an assassin, or he is an assassinator of ninjas? And I'm like, both.
I got you.
I love Ninja Assassin. I own it. Yeah. I think it's amazing. I have watched it easily half a dozen times. If I can't think of any point where, like, if I got a call and they're like, there was an accident, your mom died, do you want to watch Ninja Assassin? I'd be like, yeah. You know, like, like, I honestly can't think of a situation in which I wouldn't be willing to watch Ninja Assassin. But if you were to sit down with me and watch Ninja Assassin and be like, this movie is fucking garbage, I'd be like, yeah, probably. So I totally get that. And I think it's important to have those kind of movies where you just like them.
Yeah.
Like, you just, you're, and because, I mean, we kind of live in a world where you can't swing a dead cat without hearing somebody's opinion on anything.
Right.
And obviously hearing other people's opinions, you know, gives you, like you said, you watched the review after and he kind of pointed out some things. And I think that's good. Like, it, you know, obviously listening to other people's opinions on things you like, it helps you kind of maybe expand upon the things you like, maybe better articulate the things that you like. But the downside of that is that sometimes when we have something that we like and we just hear people shitting on it repeatedly,
right,
you end up having to kind of almost keep justifying to yourself why you should continue to like this thing.
Right.
yeah, right. Exactly. So I think it's important to have something that you go, look, I know this is shit. I know, you know, whatever. I can point to all the reasons why this thing didn't work, but I just like it. It brings me joy. I'm happy to watch it. Doesn't matter, you know, whatever. I have a couple drinks. I watch it. It makes me feel good.
Right. I have literally built a movie collection of movies like that. Like, most of the collection are those movies.
Yeah, and what's funny is, you know, I don't have a lot of those, and I think it's because, honestly, for the most part, like, my bar is pretty low. Like, I guess I don't want to say that. It's that, like, Todd and I, we used to talk about movies, and he'd be like, why, you know, I thought of this, and I was like, yeah, I didn't think about any of that. Like,
yeah. I just watched a fucking movie.
Like, sometimes I do. I feel like a child, you know, like, where I'm just like, you know, where the litmus test is when I leave, did I have a good time or not? And that's why I'm not paid to professionally to review things professionally.
Yep.
Like, when I read people who actually can, like, articulate their thoughts beyond just, you know, oh, I like the pretty colors. You know, it's extremely impressive to me. But no, so I totally feel you in terms of, like, you know, if you were just like, and I get this, I do agree. There is a Saturday morning cartoon vibe to it. If Saturday morning cartoons were just, like, incredibly hyper violent, I was,
if they were
disappointed,
done
though,
by trauma.
I was disappointed that the fucking Fortune 500 did not get their comeuppance at the end.
Come on, man, sequel! I know. I can't wait.
I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, I need to know. I need to know if there's a person underneath the goddamn mask.
Yeah, I cannot wait to read the comic, if for nothing else. I have to fucking know if they were supposed to be wearing masks or if they're, like, were creatures. I don't even know at this point.
But I will say I did appreciate that the White Tiger lady, when they brought the women in to orally pleasure all three of the Fortune 500s, that she got some too. It wasn't,
she did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody got a little action.
She was all in on that.
And she was all in. Good for her. You know what? Good for her. Absolutely. But yeah, in terms of, like, clown from Slipknot, like, I know who Slipknot is and I know what a clown is, but what does he play? Like, what's his
band? Oh, shit, I don't know. I don't love Slipknot the way lots of metalheads do. Slipknot, to me, sounds like every time I hear a new Slipknot song or buy a new, and I have all their records, I'm not going to lie, not records, but, like, I have all their albums. Every time it sounds to me like at some point between venues, the truck that had all their instruments on it was in a horrible accident and they just recorded that. And then Corey Taylor screams over it in the studio.
So I went to college with this guy who was, like, super into industrial music, right? Like early Nine Inch Nails, right? Like, super industrial, right? Yeah. So he was a really good friend of mine, and we actually made a movie together. Not like a – that sounded bad. It wasn't like a movie. We didn't fuck each other on film. So we made a movie, him and me and my friend Dennis – we made a movie called Son of God, Son of Vengeance. I still have it on VHS. It's awesome. anyway, now that I've torpedoed any chance of ever running for public office. So I drove him home one day, and we were getting out of the parking lot at the fraternity house, and he was like, wow, that sounds really good. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, somebody's playing some really awesome, like, industrial right now. I need to find out who that is. And I was like, Ron, it's the metalworking factory down the block. He was like, oh.
Man, but if Trent Reznor was laying lyrics down on that shit.
Hell yeah. Should have sold millions of copies. Absolutely.
To answer your previous question, Clown is apparently one of the two percussionists. So
Have two.
He's one of the drummers.
Wow, they can't contain one percussionist for the Slipknot sound. Is there, like, a guy, like, you know, it's funny because anytime I've seen a band that has two percussionists, it's like one guy. Now I'm laughing because I can see them in their masks. It's one guy on drums and then one guy who does, like, the xylophone and the bells, and, like, so we're just seeing a guy in a mask is just, like, working.
But he's got on, like, a gimp mask with fucking horns and shit coming out.
With the triangle or the glockenspiel.
Yeah.
Like, I'm feeling it. That's awesome. That's fantastic. All right. So the next movie that we want to talk about is Colossal, which I had read about, and I was really glad to watch. So this is a really cool movie by Nacho, what's it, Vallejas? Is that his last name?
Bigalondo, is how I say
Bigalondo,
it.
Bigalondo, sorry. And it has Anne Hathaway And Jason, I would say Sudeikis. My wife thinks it's Sudeikis. Do you know?
Sudeikis.
Sudeikis. Well, geez, yeah. We're both wrong. And Anne Hathaway plays this woman who, by all accounts, is a fucking mess. She's a drunkard. And it was so nice to see Dan Stevens not as a weirdo, sociopath, mutant power-having, killer-type person. Like, he just was a regular British dude. He got to use his regular inside voice. But anyway, so Dan Stevens plays Anne Hathaway's boyfriend, and Anne Hathaway is a drunk. I'm not going to say she's a party girl, but she drinks and she makes bad choices. And Dan Stevens, kind of has enough of it, kicks her out of the house. She moves back home. And at the same time that she moves back home, this monster, like a kaiju, starts appearing in this one part of Seoul, trashing the place before mysteriously disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
And what Anne Hathaway realizes is that the monster only appears when she walks through this playground in her hometown. And if she makes certain movements, actions, while she is in the playground, the kaiju does the same thing. So she realizes that she is controlling the kaiju when she's walking through this park. And then Jason Sudeikis, who was her friend from like elementary school, he comes to the realization that he also controls this robot when he is also in the park. And this movie that was very much marketed as a comedy, this like kind of screwball-y, oddball, control a monster.
Right.
Actually, a fairly scary movie about asshole nice guys and toxic masculinity, which can't, I don't know about you, but that shit came out of left field like a motherfucker.
Yeah, that shit was like somebody flipped a switch on old dude, man.
I loved it. Loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I'm a big Anne Hathaway fan. I think that I think she's gotten a bit of a raw deal. There was a time a couple years ago when she was in like Les Mis, and people were like, hey, you know what would be cool? If we all hated Anne Hathaway. And I was like, why?
Right.
She seems pretty awesome. And then she had to fucking go on the Today Show and explain and justify some asshole taking a picture of her without any underwear on. Like, it was her fault for... Man, fuck Matt Lauer. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, I never quite understood why people all of a sudden decided that they didn't like Anne Hathaway, but it was a thing that happened, and I feel kind of bad for her because I've always thought she was pretty fucking awesome.
Absolutely.
And this is a bit of a different kind of role for her because, you know, she doesn't have everything together, and it's a chance for her to be somewhat funny, but also kind of not fully in control. I don't want to say she's not in control. She is in control. She just makes really bad choices.
Yeah.
But Jason Sudeikis, as much as I love Anne Hathaway, that dude, he did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
With this movie. Like, I think he's hilarious. We Are the Millers.
Right.
I have it. I've watched it repeatedly. I think it's funny as shit. And he has this super likable quality to him, which completely works in this movie.
Yep.
Because what you find out about this cat is that as much as he kind of pretends to be a nice guy, he is not a nice guy. And he's not like a serial killer. He's not like get totally drunk and fucking beat up his girlfriend. What he is a dude who probably has been hurt in the past by, well, we know he's been hurt in the past by a woman, because he was going to get married and that didn't work out, and he's got pictures at home with her face scratched down. Mm. And so he's a guy who is hurt by a woman, and he doesn't really know how to deal with that, and it ends up manifesting itself in not great ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a guy that probably we've all met at one point or another, and maybe if somebody had kind of helped him out along the way, he wouldn't be the person that he is, but they didn't, and now he seems kind of cool, but then it doesn't take much to flip things, and
right.
he is not cool anymore. And watching him be able to make that turn, frankly, was fucking terrifying.
Yeah, and it was very fast.
And it was very fast.
I think, though, I don't know, man. I think that sort of his character, because, you know, he and Anne Hathaway's character were friends when they were younger. And right. so I think, you know, he thought that, you know, he gave her the job at the bar when she came back home and all, yeah. and he was reconnected with her. And I think he sort of thought things were going a certain way. And then when they weren't, he was like, all right, true colors time. Like, fuck all that nice guy bullshit.
Absolutely. And that's absolutely true. And I mean, but even like you notice, like, I don't know if you noticed this. So like when he shows up with the TV at her doorstep and he's yeah. like, hey, we talked about having the TV. And she's like, really? I don't remember that.
Right.
And you never saw that conversation. And because right. she did have like a penchant for getting drunk, you're just like, oh, okay. She mentioned she wanted the TV. He's showing up with the TV. But then mm-hmm. later on, they show you one of those conversations and he says, you should get a sofa in here. And she's like, okay, whatever. And then later on, he shows her the sofa.
Right.
And she's like, why is there a sofa? And he's like, remember, we talked about you getting a sofa.
Yeah.
She never agreed to it. They didn't talk about her getting it. He said, you should get one.
Yeah.
And he took that to mean, I'm saying you should have it. So this is a thing that should happen.
Right.
Not, you said you wanted it. I said you should have it.
Right.
And now this is something that should happen. And I was like, holy shit. Like, that
yeah.
completely recast the previous moment about the TV. And you're absolutely right, because he wasn't somebody who gave her a job at the bar because they used to be friends and he's helping out somebody who needs help. He gave her the job at the bar because he expected something out of it.
Yep.
And when that thing didn't happen, he fucking turned on a dime. And that's what
big
I'm saying
time.
About this is a guy, I think we all know this guy.
Yeah.
I think we've all probably met somebody like this. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in relation to women. I think we've all met somebody who's super cool until things stop going their way or they're not getting something out of your relationship that they feel they deserve, and then shit turns.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, thankfully – hopefully, for most people, it's maybe something you can just be like, you know what, fuck that cat, I'm out. But I think
right.
there's probably a fair number of women who've been like, no, I knew that guy, and it was not great.
Yeah.
And I mean, and for them to make a movie that was about what this was about, the concept that it was, and then have that part in it as well, and still be a really good movie, I thought was like,
yeah,
was fantastic.
Oh yeah, like, man, the reception for what I've been reading online is absolutely amazing, because everybody was like expecting one thing and it's this other thing, and they're like, I was so happy that I was pleasantly surprised, because I thought
right.
it was going to be this, it ended up being this, and it was still really fucking good. So like, it was
right.
completely unexpected, and I fucking loved it. And I was like, oh wow, because I was like, when I saw it, I was like, oh, God, they're going to turn on it, you know?
Like, yeah. Like, when I watched Edge of 17, I feel like I liked the movie. I would have liked it more if it had been marketed
yeah.
towards what it actually was.
Big time. Yeah, that one was not one that I enjoyed, because I expected what I got in the trailers,
yes.
and it was not that.
Yes. And I think this movie somewhat runs... there's a danger of that happening as well.
Right.
And I think the difference is in this movie, what it is so much more of a surprise compared to what Edge of 17 ended up being.
Yeah.
That you're kind of willing to overlook that. Okay. They kind of marketed it one way. It's something,
right.
it's something completely different. And that's cool, because
yeah.
of what it ends up actually being. I thought Anne Hathaway was great. I especially without kind of getting into how it ends, the final scene, absolute final scene. I was like,
yeah.
that's perfect. Like that.
Yep.
I thought that was, I thought that was great. But I mean, I liked that, her character, like I feel like sometimes movies like this, like when they have a, they have like somebody, okay, so like Dan Stevens, who he's more of a straight arrow type of guy, and he just doesn't, it's not that he doesn't love her, he just, he can't deal with her the way that she is, and right. Sometimes movies, they tend to paint that person as the bad guy, and I don't feel like that's appropriate. I feel like if anybody who's ever dealt with somebody who maybe doesn't know when to call it quits, that is, can be an extremely frustrating, difficult thing to deal with, and kind of painting them as, oh, there's so much fun, you should just kind of go along with it. I'm not a big fan of that. I think that, you know, sometimes it's okay based on what the particular story is, but I like the fact that they didn't try to make it seem like he was a killjoy. They're like, no, he's the adult.
Right.
And so I enjoyed that. And then, I feel like for her, like she kind of understood, maybe not at first, that this isn't like a great way to be. But as the movie went on, she kind of she realized there's a point in the movie where, like, when she first realizes that she's controlling the kaiju, she kind of treats it like a goof.
Right.
But there's a point in the movie where she has too much to drink, and then she's kind of fucking around in the park, and she falls over, and she realizes. Now, I never understood, and maybe I'd like your opinion on this. Do you feel like they could actually hear what was happening, or they just more kind of thought about or had somewhat of an understanding? Because particularly at the end, I didn't have a good understanding as to what, because what happens is she falls down and she's like, wait a minute, if I just fell down, I just killed a bunch of people.
Yeah.
But at the end of the movie, I kind of felt like maybe they somehow were able to hear or have an understanding of what was happening while they were in the park without having to like see it on TV.
Yeah, I didn't get that for whatever reason. Like I felt like I don't know. Like she was almost afraid to like look at television the day after when she realized she had the fall, and when Jason Sudeikis showed back up, she's like, "What did I do? How many was it?" And all that shit. Like I don't know. I think she, I don't know. I didn't get the impression that she like sort of was aware. I felt like it scared her, and you know she understood what she did, but she was almost afraid to look.
Mm-hmm. But later on in the movie, particularly at the end, kind of the way they use some of the sound editing and stuff, I don't know if they were just kind of putting that in for just effect, just to be like,
that's okay. What I thought. Oh, okay. I mean, I could be completely off, but that's
no. I was really unclear on that. I was just like, all right, I'm not sure if you're supposed to feel like they know what's happening, or they're just kind of adding that to raise the stakes, so to speak.
That was sort of my impression of it.
Okay. But yeah, like she, you know, I like the fact that she kind of grew over the course of the movie. Like she realized that, you know, her actions had actual like tangible weight to them, and she needed to kind of change how she did things and what she did. But it was really well done. Like it was really well done.
Yeah.
I can't wait to watch it again. I was explaining it to my wife, and she was like, what the fuck? And I was like, no, it is really. Because I'm like, I'll tell her about the movies that we're going to watch, and she's just like, whatever. But when I explained this to her, she just was like, I don't get it. And I was like, no, it's really good. You got to watch it. So,
the other thing I'll say, I don't know if you watched Jimmy Fallon or not, but if you like Anne Hathaway, and I do, she was fantastic on Jimmy Fallon talking about this movie, and it's well worth looking that up on YouTube.
Yeah, no, I don't. I know this is terrible, but ever since Jimmy Fallon tousled that fucking Cheeto face dictator asshole's hair on,
oh, the hair thing, show, yeah,
I was like, I can't do it. I know that's probably whatever. I don't like to bring politics in the show, you know, whatever.
Sure,
support who you want, but that kind of was not a thing I was a big fan of. I'm not a late night person in the first place.
Oh, like, no.
I'll hear about certain things here and there, and I'll kind of watch it. I'm a James Corden guy, if anything, but
karaoke. The thing is, like, Well, that's how I find out about him. Like, I'll hear somebody will post Carpool Karaoke, or somebody posted the Emma Stone lip sync battle, and I was like, holy shit, that was amazing. So I just saw on YouTube.
Yeah.
No, I don't. Yeah. I can't be bothered to stay up and watch shit that late at night. So I see the YouTube stuff. So.
Yeah,
that's all.
No, but I'll look that up. And they have a really good article I don't know if you ever read the AV Club.
Yeah.
They have a good piece. It's an interview with Anne Hathaway and Jason Sudeikis about the movie. So unfortunately, kind of going into it, I knew somewhat about the turn that the movie made, but even knowing about it, I still was really kind of taken aback by just kind of how it ended up being portrayed, and particularly his performance. I thought,
well, I knew nothing. Fantastic. All I knew was Nacho did it. That's all I needed to know.
I am totally unfamiliar with him as a filmmaker. So
yeah.
What else has he done?
Watch Time Crimes. Watch Time Crimes. That movie is absolutely incredible. He also did Open Windows with, what's his name? Elijah Wood. And it was okay. It's not great, but it's okay. You know, I enjoyed that one. But most of, like, a lot of his other stuff has been like little shorts and things like that. But Time Crimes is like why I'm like full on Team Nacho. He did do the, what was in my opinion, like the only watchable segment in VHS Viral, the Parallel Monsters.
I don't think I watched Viral. I watched VHS. No, I watched VHS 2. Yeah. I don't think I've seen Viral.
Viral was pure shit, except for his segment. So.
Okay. So Time Crimes, is that like a streaming? Can I see that streaming somewhere? Or
it's a few years old, so I'm not really sure. I'll have to look and I'll let you know.
Okay. Yeah, so for me and us, next one is Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I know you're super excited.
I cannot wait. I want it to be good.
You know, the reviews I've read of it have really been mixed, and they all, and I think this will be no. I think this will be interesting. We're gonna try to get Todd Brackey of Jumping the Shark fame on the show next time. And I think the point to make for this particular movie, once we get past all the griping, is what is reasonable to expect from a sequel in order for it to be, because there's two things, right? Like when you watch a sequel, you have an expectation of it just being good as a movie as a whole, and then you have a separate set of expectations in terms of what it does as a sequel.
Yeah.
And is it necessarily fair to judge those two things differently when considering how good the movie was? And from the mixed reviews that I've read, I think that will kind of be an interesting thing to talk about, because kind of the mixed reviews I've read is that it is a good movie, but as a sequel, it does nothing that the first one didn't do.
Oh, God.
It doesn't really push things forward. But then again, I've read some stuff that's been like, no, it's fucking great. Like, and even as a sequel, it does it.
Well, the other interesting thing that we're going to bring to the table in our discussion about the movie is that we're going to have one, potentially two people who love the original and one who does not. So,
you know what's funny? Is that so my brother-in-law, my wife's husband, that's me. Sorry. I had some moonshine. I was drink a little on the show. Helps lubricate the pipes. My wife's brother, I can't nail this cat down when it comes to movies. Okay. Like there'll be times when we're talking about shit and I'm like, okay, yeah, we're on the same wavelength. And then he says something like, Guardians of the Galaxy was fucking stupid. Like, why would they have a dance battle at the end? And I'm like, what?
Ooh. He and I may need to watch movies together.
But now I know you, and I go, he's not alone. Like, like, it wasn't a dance battle. It was a distraction. He just did it by... Anyway, the point is, so prior to you telling me how much you... And I think, though, the difference is, I think to a certain degree, you were kind of bringing in some expectations from being a fan of the comic.
Yes.
Dan just doesn't like fun.
I got you. Yeah.
That's the difference. Like, I think that... You know, for somebody like Todd and I, we didn't read, you know, I don't know the comics from Adam, you know. I think if you have a different set of expectations based on, you know, kind of what the comic is, and then you kind of see this. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Like, I don't know. So I think if you were to plot us on a spectrum in terms of, like, critical thinking about movies and just flat out enjoyment of movies. You know, I think you and I, although we might have different opinions on certain things, are probably definitely more on the enjoyment part of the movies.
Yes.
And Todd is more on the critical part of the movies.
This is
not in a not a bad way, but like we've had plenty of discussions about movies where he's like, you know, while I was watching it, I was thinking about this and I was thinking about this and I was thinking about this, and I'm like, I don't think about shit when I watch a movie.
I was eating popcorn.
If I'm watching a movie and I am pulled out of it to think about something, then it did something wrong.
Right.
That's not to say that I don't think about movies after I'm done watching it and I have time to reflect on it and what the movie is trying to say and what it did. But in the act of watching it, if I have to stop and go, wait, what? Then it did something wrong.
Yep.
And I feel like, and Toddy Mac, if you're listening to this, I hope I'm not painting you poor and wrongly. I know that's not a word, but I feel like Todd has more of those thoughts that kind of bubble up during a movie watching experience than maybe you or I would.
Yeah, I can see that. And again, nothing, you know, absolutely not trying to paint him in a negative light anyway, because I love that dude. But yeah, I can see that.
So we'll see. We'll see. And I'll try to keep to a minimum any arguments about Pitch Perfect and how the fucking the battle at the end, their mashup stuff.
Okay.
Do you not watch Pitch Perfect?
I fucking love Pitch Perfect. Are you kidding
me? Okay. All right. Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah, I love both of them. So.
Good. Me too. Perfect. Excellent. All right. So next show we expect to be balls deep in Guardians of the Galaxy. That felt right at the moment. So we're going to do Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So for you, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I mean, I don't know if I would consider you looking forward to it.
Oh, I'm not.
So much as maybe afraid, not afraid, but hesitant.
I'm hesitant. I'm hesitant, but at the same time, again, I genuinely hope I enjoy it. I love James Gunn.
What is the next movie that you are just like, yes, can't wait?
Free Fire is the next thing I'm trying to watch. I'm looking forward to that. I watched one that I had been looking forward to called Don't Fuck in the Woods, and don't bother with that one. Okay. It was a disappointment.
Sound advice.
I love Ben Wheatley. And so you tell me Ben Wheatley made a movie, then that's number one on my list of I have to see them now. So Free Fire is next for me.
Okay. Yeah, I was asking my wife, I was like, do you have any interest in Wonder Woman? And she's like, you know, on the one hand, I was surprised. I thought she'd be like, no. She's like, she goes, I really like Chris Pine. I was like, oh, Jesus. but yeah, she's like, I really like Chris Pine, but I'm not sure. But for me, I think that's like, I still haven't seen Fate of the Furious. And at this point in the theater, it's probably not going to happen, which I'm killing myself. But it just, the timing of it didn't work out.
Yeah.
I think Wonder Woman after Guardians 2, I think Wonder Woman's probably it.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to that. That's like theatrical. Theatrically, yes. It'll be Wonder Woman for me. Yeah. But just as far as this movie, it's Free Fire.
Okay. We'll have to see what's the name of the Nacho movie? Time Crimes. Time Crimes.
Yeah.
Time Pirates. Probably also
not
a movie,
classic. At all.
Yeah. That's deep in the bowels of Netflix.
Yeah.
So, cool. All right. Well, everybody, thanks for hanging out tonight. It's probably not nighttime wherever you are, but it is here for us. So we appreciate you hanging out. Of course, you can look forward to streams. I'm going to keep doing Rise, despite the fact that at this point I kind of hate the fucking game, until Prey or whatever I get for my birthday, whichever one comes first. And Autistic, you know, he asks you to stream when I'm not, so we'll have to work out a schedule. So you can maybe do some Soma or Witcher or something.
I'll figure something out. Witcher's probably at this point over for me.
Way.
But I might start Soma over or do something. And definitely Outlast 2. I'll be getting that soon, and I may stream that one. And then, of course, like I said, I'll be streaming Friday the 13th forever. So.
Right. Cool, cool. So this has been episode 21. Thank you so much for hanging out. Really appreciate it. Of course, you can subscribe to iTunes and tell all your friends and get them to subscribe as well. And we will see you here in 2 weeks for some exciting Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 talk. So for myself and Mitch, thank you again for hanging out. We really appreciate it. Good night, and have a good evening. Okay.